together for our good, because you are a good God. Amen.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm here at church, but because I was around Tom, I've been told I need to quarantine myself. And I will be out of a quarantine a Monday week. And so thank you very much, Tom. So can everybody hear me okay? Yeah, okay, good. What about the people in the congregation? Can you guys hear me okay? I hope so. I'm leaving that up to Laura to take care of that. I'm here in Sandy's office, and there would be nothing better for me. I would love to be with you. And I had to tell a couple of people this morning to get out of my office. And so it wasn't because I didn't like you, I didn't want you there. It's because I love you. And I don't want, if I'm carrying anything, I don't want to pass it on to you. Before we go any further, I want to introduce to you a couple of individuals, actually two couples that got married this week. The first one is Nick and Ashley Johnson. Nick, you and Ashley, stand and let people recognize you. Are they standing? We'll have to go open this door so I can hear what's going on. The second couple is Matt and Monica Brown. Oh, I mean, Wolford. Yeah. Yesterday when I was performing their wedding ceremony, I made a blooper, which is normal for me. Anyway, during the vows, I had Monica marry Matthew Brown rather than Matthew Wolford. So anyway, I'm glad they're here this morning. And I think I saw Dennis in the congregation too. Dennis, was that Dennis Long? That was, well, good to have you back, Dennis. Good to see you. So a couple of other things. Next week we're going to have a wonderful Christmas production with the musicians here. And first, I want to say thank you, Jeannie, for putting that together this morning. It reminded me what we used to do before we got Tom and Renee. We would often use the YouTube to do our service and sing. And so things have changed a lot, and we're so grateful for Tom and Renee. We're going to continue praying for them. They're going to be over this before long. And so, anyway, I appreciate them so very, very much. And so to let you know, for those of you who have scheduled counseling this week, unless you want to do it on Zoom, then we're not going to meet together for counseling. If you choose to do it on Zoom, take your communication card and write on there that you want to do your counseling on Zoom. I will be back in the office Monday week, Lord willing. And so just kind of to let you be aware of that. One other thing, the church now owns the house next door. And Miss Carolyn is going to open the house for you after the service is over. So if you want to look at it, go around and view it, you're more than welcome to do so. The Lord has blessed us with that. And so we're grateful for what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing. Thank you for your continued gifts to the church and to what's going on here. God is doing some marvelous things in our midst, and I just thank the Lord for all that he's doing. I can't see you. as I'm preaching, but I can see me. And so I guess I'll be preaching to myself and to my wife this morning. But I want you to, this December the 21st, there's going to be an astronomical phenomenon that's going to be taking place December the 21st. And it's where Jupiter and Saturn will come into such close alignment that they will appear to be a unit. It hasn't appeared like this in over 800 years. It doesn't happen often, but some people consider it to be the Christmas star. The last time that they were this close together was in March 4th, 1226. And so if you have a bright night on that evening, then you might want to watch this phenomenon occur. The coming of the Messiah was an event Old Testament believers looked forward to with great hope and anticipation. But as the centuries passed without his appearance, many stopped looking for and believing and hoping for the Messiah. But when Jesus did arrive, he didn't come as a king and conqueror as many had surmised, as many had considered him to be, but rather a humble servant. The wise men from the east recognized him. The shepherds discovered him and was ecstatic as they communicated with others the birth of Jesus. But many religious leaders failed to recognize the wonder of the Messiah, the mystery of the ages, God's promise being fulfilled in front of their very eyes. Hope is a wonderful thing, especially when your hope is built on the promises of God. Losing hope can have a tremendously negative effect on one's life. That's why we must never lose hope in the Word of God. Satan is doing everything he can in our day and in our age to destroy the hope of believers. He's been doing it throughout the ages, but it appears that here in just the last year or so that he has ramped up his efforts to destroy the hope of believers. And there are a lot of people who are believers who are losing hope. They're losing their belief. They're losing their desire. They're losing their unction to receive from God what the Lord has promised them. Hopelessness brings discouragement and despair. Not only does hope produce joy, as we studied last week, but also hope produces faith. And Jesus' birth is all about hope, it's all about love, and it's all about peace. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. As a matter of fact, because I'm on the screen, I'm not going to have a PowerPoint up here. But if you will turn your Bibles first to Hebrews chapter 11, and then to Genesis chapter 50. I would like to read some passages of scripture regarding that. Hebrews chapter 11, first. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word, if you would. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I come before you today and just want to thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to come and worship as one. And Lord, I know Tom has already been prayed for, and we're going to lift him up again and continue to lift him up. And ask, Lord, that the symptoms that he has experienced regarding this coronavirus would be lifted. And Lord, that there would not be anyone affected in his home or anywhere else through his contact with them. Lord, I thank you for the nurses, for the doctors, for those, the medical professionals who are trying to keep everyone safe. And God, I pray that you would just help them and bless them and keep them safe as they do their jobs. Lord, you are a good, good Father. And I pray that today that we would be able to take your word. I pray that we would be able to digest it, put it into our lives, and live in such a way that faith is displayed, and that our faith will be rewarded. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So you may be seated. Again, we're going to be talking about confident hope. Confident hope. If you were to continue reading the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you would find that there are many men and women listed in the book of Hebrews, or this 11th chapter, who displayed their faith. And this chapter is known as the Hall of Faith. And I would encourage you at some time, perhaps, to go through there and begin studying the lives of these individuals. It would help build your faith as you study the lives of these individuals. Next year, one of the things that I would like to do is to do a series on building a bridge of faith. There are 12 planks to build this bridge. And I want us to look at these 12 planks next year and begin to put in place these planks so that we can effectively utilize the faith that God has imparted to each one of us. And we can actually get better at faith. People in this chapter are people like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, whom we talked about last week, Sarah, Rahab, the harlot. They're talking about Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and many, many, many others. Today, I want us to look at Joseph. He's one of the 12 sons of Jacob who had some dreams as a child. Some dreams that God had given him. Maybe he was in his youth, but he was not an adult. And he had some dreams, and he revealed his dreams one day to his brothers, to his dad. And the dreams told him, or revealed to Joseph, that one day he would be a ruler. And one day his dad and his brothers would bow down to him. That didn't endear him too well to his brothers. As a matter of fact, it caused hatred. Not only the dreams and Joseph say, hey, one day you're going to bow down to me. One day I'm going to be your ruler. They didn't really care for that very much. But his dad also favored Joseph and gave him a coat of many colors, showing that Jacob had favored Joseph above all the other kids. And just on the side, parents, please don't have any favorites. It's not going to be well for you or your family if you have favorites. Anyway, Joseph was the favorite, and he kind of was proud of that. He seemed like he was kind of putting that in the face of his brothers, and so his brothers hated him. His brothers despised him, and they threw him in a pit actually to let him starve to death, but decided when an Ishmaelite clan came by, they said, well, hey, why don't we sell him as a slave to these Ishmaelites? So the Ishmaelites bought him, took him down to Egypt, and there sold him as a slave to a fellow named Potiphar. Now, Joseph was 17 years old when that took place. 17 years old, he was sold into slavery. He worked for Potiphar. Not sure how long, but perhaps a few years. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar put Joseph in prison. When Joseph was 30 years old, he was taken out of prison, and he was placed in front of Pharaoh to interpret some dreams for Pharaoh. And because of the interpretation of the dreams, Pharaoh put him in charge, or he became ruler over Egypt. Now, let's just say that you had been in prison and you had been a slave for 13 years. What would that have done to your dreams that you had as a child? Would you have forgotten about the dreams? Would you have continued believing even though there was no reason to believe? Would you have said, well, my dreams aren't going to come to fruition? I must have just had a bad pizza that night. The reason I tell you this story, which you can read for yourself, and actually it's quite a lengthy story starting in Genesis chapter 30 and going through Genesis chapter 50. It's because often, before you inherit a blessing, before your dreams can be realized, you have to go through some stuff. You have to have a character overhaul. You're going to have a trial of faith. I don't know what the Lord has imparted into you. I don't know the dreams that he has given you. But every one of us, before those dreams can be realized, we have to go through a trial of faith to see if our faith is going to hold, if our confident hope is going to continue, or if we're going to lose the dream. Some of you have been dreaming for years for one thing or another. Some of you have been hoping beyond hope, and it doesn't seem that those dreams or those hopes are going to be realized. But I want to encourage you, do like Joseph and continue to hope. Joseph was tempted. He was tried. He was tormented. He was condemned. He was hated. He was despised. He was tested, but he never gave up on the dream God had given him. Somehow, some way, someday, he would be ruler. He didn't know how. He didn't know when. He didn't know the timing. He just had confident hope that God would make it happen. As a slave, he knew in his heart. As a prisoner, he knew in his heart, but he didn't just sit back and wait for it to happen. He was productive with the things that God placed in his hands. So as a servant of Potiphar, he made decisions that made his master, Potiphar, wealthy. And everything, Scripture says that everything he touched was fruitful. And Potiphar became wealthy because of the decisions that Joseph had made. And Potiphar put Joseph in charge of everything he had. When he was sent to prison, Joseph was put in charge of the prisoners. He didn't fall into self-pity. He didn't say, woe is me. What he did is he began to put into effect the gifts that God had given him. Even as a servant, even as a prisoner, he began using the gifts that God had placed in him. He learned, listen, he learned valuable lessons as a prisoner and as a servant. He never lost the dream. He never lost the faith. He learned to be a ruler in the prison and as a servant or as a slave. He never lost faith. He kept stepping up. There was a farmer one time who had a mule. And one day, this mule fell down into a well. It was a well that had been dug back in the days where you had to draw water out of a well. This mule had been walking along, and the well had been no longer been used, and there were boards that had covered the well. And so the boards had gotten rotten. The mule walked across and fell down into the well. The well was pretty deep, and the farmer said, well, I don't have any way of getting the mule out of this well. And so he said, I'm going to just bury it where it is. And so he started throwing dirt over in the well. And the dirt would land on the mule's back, and he would shake it off, and he would step up. Farmer would throw more dirt on the mule. It'd fall on his back. Mule would shake it off and step up. More dirt would fall on his back. He'd shake it off and step up. And pretty soon, the mule stepped out of the pit. We need to do the same thing when things come our way, when discouragement falls upon us. We need to shake it off. We need to step up because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. The dreams that you have and the dreams that he has given you is still valid. He hasn't forgotten about those, but you may be in a trial of faith. And there are things that will come upon you to strengthen you, to build your character, to help you, to reach the place so that you can realize the dreams that God has given you. Joseph trusted the Lord in many of his ways, maybe all of his ways. As a matter of fact, if you look in Genesis chapter 50, Joseph makes this statement to his family. Joseph says, soon I will die. This is verse 24. But God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt. He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath, and he said, when God comes to help you and lead you back, you must take my bones with you. So Joseph died at the age of 110. The Egyptians embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph knew that God's promises was forever. He didn't know when Israel would escape Egypt. He didn't know when they would leave Egypt and go to the promised land where God had given to them. But about 350 years later, Israel left Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 13, verse 19, it is written, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, God will certainly come to help you. When he does, you must take my bones with you from this place. And so Moses took the bones of Joseph with him 350 years later. Now, a lot of people would have given up on the promise, but not Joseph. He had confident hope and expectant hope that his body would be taken out of Egypt to the promised land. You and I, who are children of God, have an expectant hope, a confident hope, knowing that one day Jesus will return and take us to our eternal home in the heavens. We know it. We rest assured that one day he will return and take us home to be with him. The Christmas season is not just to look back at Jesus' birth, but it's also a season to look forward to his appearing in the clouds to redeem his bride, the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 says, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So let me ask you a question. Do you know that Jesus is coming again? Do you know that? Are you looking forward? Are you ready for that great day? I want to encourage you, we can't be lazy. We must roll up our sleeves and be about the business he's called us to, bringing people into his kingdom, not sleeping, not lazy, not fearful, preparing ourselves to fulfill the destiny God has for us, and preparing ourselves for the great and awesome day of the Lord's return. So, closing questions. Have you lost hope? The dreams that the Lord has placed in you, perhaps years ago, are you losing hope? If so, God wants to encourage you. He wants to bless you. He wants to strengthen you, letting you know that you can trust him, that you can believe in him. And just as sure as the promise that God said, "I will never flood the earth again," and the rainbow that proves to us, was God's sign to us that that promise would be effective forever, that rainbow is also a sign to you that the promise he made you will come to fruition. No matter what you're facing, Scripture says God will work it out for your good, for those who love God and are called for his purpose. The second question is, are you about the business God has assigned to you? Are you doing his work? Have you gotten lazy? I would encourage you to be profitable in the kingdom's work. And the third question I would ask is, are you ready for the Lord's return? If the Lord were to return today, would you be one of those who are able to go to heaven because you put your trust and your faith in him? Scripture teaches us that if we turn from our sins and if we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, to be the ruler of our life, to be the Lord, Savior, Master, then we can have assurance that we can go to heaven. If you don't have that assurance this morning, Scripture says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Scripture says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you been cleansed? Have you asked the Lord to forgive you? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you have confident hope, knowing above anything else that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's what the Christmas season is all about. Giving us hope, giving us peace, giving us faith, giving us joy, and giving us love. If you'll take your communication card, and if you would like, if you want to make a notation and let me know what your decision is today. Maybe you need there's a prayer concern that you have. Maybe you have come to a place where you've kind of fallen into hopelessness, and you need extra prayer, or you need a word of encouragement. Would you put that on your communication card? And for those who are watching on Zoom, if you would like to drop me an email at pastorbradlcf@gmail.com, then I'll respond to you as well. I love you. I look forward to being back with you. And may the Lord bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I come before you today and I thank you for your word to us. I thank you for the encouragement of your word. Lord, I pray that you would allow this word to sink deep in our hearts. Lord, make us, help us to become like Joseph, to trust you, even when it looks like there is no hope. Thank you for this season. Thank you for Jesus. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, you are dismissed, and I will see y'all next week. God bless you.